Let your words improve the silence. Let your words improve the peace. Let your words improve the righteousness. Let your words improve the truth, or shut up. Let your words destroy the drama, or shut up. Zip it. Zip the lips. You know? Really, once you've said enough, you've said enough. Once you've said enough, you've said enough. If you're dealing with somebody and you've already hashed everything out, either there's a solution or not. And if there's no solution after a bunch of hashing out over time, then you walk away. Because they can't hear you. And they don't want to hear you. They want the drama. It's really simple. Life is really simple. You make it work, or you don't. If you can't make it work, then you don't. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? Amos 3:3. If they betray you, they betray themselves. If they betrayed you from the get-go, they actually betrayed themselves. You're going to be free. They're going to keep repeating the same thing over and over. I think I left my windows open. I got a bunch of ants in the car, and I just... If they betrayed you from the get-go, then they betrayed themselves from the get-go, and you saw through it, and you just walk away, and you're back to where you were. You didn't really lose any ground. Look, if you go through a lesson, that's what this place is. I would just be praising God. If you go through a physical... three-dimensional lesson in life. Praise God. This is a school. The universe is your university. The universe is your university. So when you look at something that happened to you, you say, praise God, because we know all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. So whatever happens, if it's a lesson and not a blessing, it turns into a blessing anyway if you're saved, because the universe is your university. And life is a school. Life is a school, and it's a test to see if your heart's right. So let's say somebody does throw you under the bus, and you thought, man, I had some trust in that person. I was really committed to that, and I really was ready to, jump in. And they threw you under the bus. And they lied, and they contradicted, and they used gaslighting, they used abuse, toxic, playing games, didn't care, it was all about them, selfish, self, me, queen bee, follow me. They were still in the 3D, tit for tat. They don't think about win-win, they think win-lose, you know. And they don't want to be held accountable. So, if you got an employee, think about this for a second. If you got somebody who's dependable on the job, faithful to the job, and it's just a job, right? J-O-B, just over broke, right? Well, this is a really good job. But then if you're really more loyal to a job than you are a, let's just call it a soul tie or something. A spirit tie or a soul tie or a, it could be a marriage. Let's say you're married or you're thinking about getting married. If they're more loyal to the job or to their mama or their daddy or their sister or brother or something, if they got more loyalty to other people than you, then their job, then, you know, it shouldn't even be an issue. If a person has their own identity and their own beliefs, then it don't matter what the mama, the daddy, the sister, the brother, it don't matter what anybody else thinks. If both of you agree, you're going to stand together. But that's the problem. Most people come into a situation and they don't have the same belief system. Two saved people should be able to get along. If two saved people are in the same house and they can't get along, somebody's not saved. Or somebody's being influenced by somebody outside the marriage, you know, like a mama or a daddy or something, or they don't have their identity right. If two people are saved, there's no reason they can't get along. They should be on the same page. They should be praying and talking and communicating and be on the same page with their finances, with their living situation, with the relationships, with their career paths. They should agree, come together and communicate, communion, communicate, together, union. And if they can't talk about everything, why are they getting married? Why are they getting married? They're enemies in their own house. If a man or a woman has an enemy in their own house, why are you married? Why'd you get married? Go marry your mama. Go marry your brother, your sister, daddy or something. You're more married to them than, I mean, marriage is a covenant before God. And so you're more married to your bloodline than you are your spouse. What's that about? You must really not be committed. You might as well just stay friends till you can get it right. And if you can't get it right the next time. That's one of my favorite songs right there. Get it right the next time. You ought to look at the lyrics in that song. And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about daily living, mistakes and things, the sanctification process. When I talk, there's three things. There's justification, sanctification, glorification. There's one way to be saved. That's faith alone and Jesus alone. And you ain't going to get it right the next time if you don't get that right. But then the sanctification process is the daily experiences. And you try something, it don't work, get it right next time. And I made the decision to do that on my remodel. So I thought, well, I'll go in here and I'll build a fence. And if I don't get it right, I'll tear it down and get it right the next time. Roof. I put a roof on. If I don't get it right, I'll get it right next time. I did put a roof on. I still had a leak. I thought, where's the leak come from? I looked up at the top and I thought, let me put a brand new ridge vent on. And sure enough, that solved the problem. Because water was leaking underneath something in the ridge vent, because it was old. Somewhere in the ridge vent was a leak. So I put a whole new ridge vent on and the leak went away. You get it right the next time. If you have to rip it all down and start over, get it right the next time. If you married wrong, you get a divorce, get it right the next time. Ain't no reason to be depressed or sad or live in the past. Living in the past is not biblical. You live in the now. Jesus is on the throne. You're seated in the heavenlies in Christ. Why are you going to live in the past? Okay. You made some mistakes. Somebody else betrayed you, hurt you, whatever. So? Jesus was betrayed. Get up, wash your face, and start over. It's a new day. David in the Bible with Bathsheba, his baby, it was prophesied his baby was going to die. The baby died. He washed his face and said, I'll see that baby in heaven. You don't live in the past. You live in the now. Well, they didn't love me. Maybe they did. Maybe you destroyed. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they were narcissists. Whatever they were, maybe you were the side piece. Who knows? Who cares? Get it right the next time. You walk away, wash your face, get up and start something new. Every day is a new day. Every day is a new creation. Every moment is new. And if you do some fasting, your body will renew. You can actually reverse your age with fasting. And there's two elements to that. Your body will eat the old cells and push them out, but also you're breaking time. Because when you fast and pray, you're outside of time. You might not believe it, but that's all right. I don't care. Because you're not spiritual enough yet to hear what I'm saying, I guess. But you'll get it right the next time. Maybe in 10 years you can hear what I'm saying, if I'm still uploading. Get it right the next time. You call them cheating or lying or playing games, player, con artist, thief, identity theft, whatever they're doing, get it right the next time. They ain't going to win. Wile E. Coyote, the criminal never wins. The liar never wins. The con artist never wins. The thief never wins. The Satanist never wins. The cult never wins. They never win. Because they all know that they're a cult and they're all working together and they all throw each other under the bus. And here's what I found out with these cults and these covens and these witches and warlocks and all that. They get somebody to come after you to attack you. And then they realize, wait a minute, he's got a good heart. So she might even fall in love, but she's in that cult and she can't tell you right outright, but she can tell you, hey, I was paid to take you out. She can't say those words, but she's showing you by her actions. So she's telling you to leave without telling you to leave because she knows that you don't deserve whatever they're trying to do to you. Freemasons, Jesuit, cult, ism, whatever. Wiccan, cult. See, the Wiccans think they're gods, right? So they think, because they use their third eye demon or whatever they use, they think, well, this person deserves karma. They did this to somebody. They actually think they have the key to bring judgment. And then when it backfires on them, they're like, what? That was a real saint. That was a mistake. Why did we attack that person? Because that person is divinely protected. And they don't know what it means to be born again. So they're looking at you like, you must have some kind of angel watching over you or something. You're not from here. You're not even from here. You must not even be human. That's what they're thinking. They try to take you out. They try to kill you. Try to poison you. And you just, you know, like when the Apostle Paul got bit by that viper and the Aborigines on that land just watched him, thought he was going to die. And he didn't die. They poison you and you don't die. And they're like, what? How'd that happen? They're like, you're not human. You know how many times they probably tried to poison me? You can tell when you got a snake in the grass. You can tell. It don't take long. Because they always have to reveal themselves. Little micro expressions and words. They think that you don't see them, but you do. You see them. And you know what I'm talking about.